art studio downstairs.
Does he make money doing art?
No.
It's very, very hard.
He makes so many, when he does something, he sells it, he makes money, but he doesn't make enough to live on.
Yeah, and no, it's...
He works in a bookstore.
Yeah, writing is not...
No.
Who's the gruff-looking guy in white there?
His name is Robert Haynes.
Oh, he's one of the people on your staff?
Yeah.
Okay.
This fellow's just this. I mean, he's a very nice guy. That's Inwood there.
Oh, okay.
That's Bob Haynes. This is State Department officer. This is an Army colonel. He's my deputy, and that's Mason. Who succeeded him.
Yeah, okay. Is that the sort of changing of the guard?
Yeah.
Ceremony?
This fellow came from the 2nd Infantry Division out of Oregon or Washington State.
32nd, I know.
in this fellow I don't remember at all.
What did Haynes do? What was his...
He was just like all of us, an intelligence officer. Okay. Beyond that, I find rough, tough looking fellow. You know.
Oh, yeah, that's so immediately I said.
He's a very, very nice guy. The other ones was Haynes.
But I...
He lives in Honolulu.
Haynes. Oh, John Mason, yes. Who's the Vietnamese fellow standing next to John Mason? I believe he's in this photo.
He's a policeman. This is Gould.
Oh, this is Gould.
That's Gould. Gould. Inman. This fellow's name is escapes me.
Uh-huh.
I look like a blown sideways to a crooked pole. That's Mason. That's one of my counterparts. He's a policeman. I don't even remember his name.
Yeah, he doesn't have his tag. I guess only the military had their names on their uniform. Police didn't need to.
I think Mason was highly amused by the whole process. He was probably wondering which medal he'd get when he left.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
This fellow is the head of the Vietnamese Phoenix staff. Derek Wilkins. He's a police officer.
That wouldn't have been Tuan or you. Okay. Sorry.
See, there's the... That's the Vietnamese name for it.
Oh, okay. Good. Chu Tick. Is that why the photograph was taken right there? So they...
Well, they called me over there and they lined us up. Uh-huh. We all stood at attention. And medals on me. That, you know, this is sort of like military courtesy. Give your office the number of medals on me.
Chairman of the...
I think the Vietnamese must have kept somebody busy making medals to give to the Americans. Great sport.
Chairman of the Central Phoenix Committee. Mm-hmm. That's strictly Vietnamese.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. 4-star general.
No, 4-stars. They have a different.
Okay.
So maybe the 4-stars. Well, I don't know what those 4-stars are. It's G2. This guy's a major lieutenant colonel. Okay.
You could see how hot it was. The fellow was sweating through on the back of his chair there.
Yeah.
No air conditioning for that.
Is there a fan there?
Just sitting.
This guy here was a very smart guy.
Who else is in that
photo? That's Colby. It's me. That's Inman. That's my deputy. That's a Vietnamese officer. This is a briefing for Colby.
Oh, okay.
And not only Colby, but for this gentleman here. That fellow, I think, is the then Director General of Police.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that just about does it. I'd be fascinated to hear 5 minutes of what you did in Detachment 101. With, you know.
Yeah, that's probably one of the lesser lights. Primarily in 101.
Yeah,
Fritz von Lange. Primarily in 101, my basic job was to, when I got out there and got into the field, my basic job was to interrogate at Michinon everything except Japanese prisoners of war or whatever, and Chinese, because we're about the Chinese in Burma too.
Mm-hmm.
I had assigned to me, and I was in a sense his bodyguard. I was another one to keep him from getting hurt, because he was a Burmese officer, and his batman, his aide, I think he was a sergeant at the time, was a jemadar, and he did the interrogation because he could speak the languages. My job was to make sure nothing happened to him, because he was somebody that the British government wanted to keep safe and well for his future. The government did not. And he had been in a couple of the earlier. Who was the British guy that was killed in Burma? He was a very famous. He'd been elsewhere. I don't think, but anyway, my job was to make sure the status was okay. I also had to receive airdrops were flown from Assam all the Burma. If they couldn't get in, couldn't get that drop in, they would bring the load back into site, into Michinon,
mm-hmm.
the airfield, unload it, and
mm-hmm.
then if a plane that had made a drop and came back empty would stop at Michinon, pick up those loads and take another shot at it. So we did airdrop out of Michinon. My job was also to provide intelligence. We had two or three teams and agents out to provide intelligence to the Michinon task force. I also had to receive and house and take care of any of our people that came in from the field and found their way into Michigan. And it was just to be generally useful.
I see. Okay.
Then I was a liaison officer from Detachment 101 to the British 36th Division.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of guys with me there. I also had a group of about 40 Kachins. We used them for local patrols.
How old were you at the time?
22 or 23. I think when I came home, I recall I was 25 years old when I went to Michigan. And then from Burma, then I was in the staff, in the operations staff in Bamo. Back to China. I think I was 25 when I finished that. We were, with the exception of just a few guys, we were all young.
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet John Singlob out there in those days?
I met Singlob early that. As a matter of fact, Singlob's wife and I went to school together. I remember we were
in
the
Cornell?
Same, yeah, we took the same German class. And Singlob was in the army, and he met her then I met Singlob himself in OSS at a training camp. So I've known him since he was, I guess he went into France or something like that. And I was in academia. And I've been running into Jack Singlob ever since, in one way, shape. The last time I saw him was when he passed through Washington, when he was fooling around in this thing he's doing now. You know, he's only home about two, three days a month. He's doing all these things. He's an anti-communist.
Yeah, I wrote him a letter, and he wrote me a letter back And in the letter, he included the leaflets from World Anti-Communist League.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's in the 2 or 3, and he's had very high position. He's very much involved, I guess, with the Chinese and Formosa.
Yeah.
I saw a movie with him.
Taiwan. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how his wife puts up with this crap. But, you know, this is his thing. Yeah. He's going to do it as long as he's physically.
He certainly seems energetic with it.
He has a daughter here in the Swiss state.
Oh, really?
The phone is unlisted.
I bet, yeah.
He's a very nice guy. I met her folks sometime. I don't think I ever met his folks.
Well, he was, considering how busy he is, he did take the time to write me back. In fact, he wrote me 2 letters. I asked him how SOG came into existence.
Oh, absolutely.
And he wrote back and said there was a joint table of distribution, and they sat down and they wrote up, you know, this and that. And
he, same thing?
Yeah.
He used to drive his wife, he was a paratrooper, of course. He was a great parachute jumper. He did this thing, being snatched out of a plane. And all that.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever asked his men to do anything. Not very big.
Yeah, big doesn't necessarily mean. Most of the truly remarkable, courageous people I've met, for some reason, have been smaller people. I don't know why.
The only funny thing I remember about Jack is when I first met him in the OSS thing. We had some pretty raunchy guys.
Well, like Lucy and Coney,
to wit.
Yeah.
And Jack at that time was appalled at the activities of some of these guys. He was a pretty straight laced fellow.
Yeah.
And I think that some of these fellows really tore it as far as he was concerned. They were weird.
This looks like it goes back past World War I.
One of them's my father.
It is, okay.
My father was American, of course, but he was in the Royal Flying Corps. All those guys are Americans in the Royal Flying Corps. One was from Texas. And I guess they were.
Wasn't that illegal? You're not allowed to be an American citizen and fight for another government.
No, you could be an American citizen, but you weren't allowed to. See, he enlisted in Canada. When he went up there, they asked him, "Where are you from?" And he told them, "Connecticut." They said, "Go outside, walk around the block, come back in, tell us where you're from." So we went out.
Up from Canada.
Well, yeah, he memorized an address or something.
Yeah.
He wrote it down. So he was from Canada. And so all those guys did the same thing. So the group he was with, the squadron or the training squadron he was in Canada, were mostly Americans, although there were New Zealanders. There were all kinds of Canadians and God knows what. And he was then sent, he did a lot of training in Texas. As a matter of fact, there was a very famous American. It was an American, and my father crashed in Texas and ruined his breathing forever after. He made him snore like a bat.
That's him on the left, and then again.
He's the very skinny guy. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes I wish I had been alive in those days. Yeah, I feel like too.
I have his logbook. Most of his flying was done at a jenny, but he also flew in. So anyway, when he got his lieutenant, his second lieutenant in those days, and now they're flying officers. But it was before it became the Army.
Yeah, there was Army back then.
Royal Flying Corps then.
Right. Okay.
And anyway, he refused to be an instructor. So he became a fighter pilot and was training in England. And then, at that point, the war was getting to the point where they didn't need fighter planes as much as they need bombers, because they were going to try to put the Germans out of their misery.
Yeah.
And he was transferred to bombers, and he said, and the war came to an end before he got killed flying the bombers.
Yeah.
But they were more afraid, actually, of crashes, and more afraid of
mechanical
failures, and also each other, because they didn't have the psychological screening and all that kind of stuff. He said the beams.
A lot of people were breaking down.
He said the worst difficulty was being an instructor, because students to freeze in the controls.
Yeah.
They didn't have these sophisticated screening.
Well, on TV, the old movies.
One of the reasons that I couldn't get in the Air Force is that my nerves don't respond properly for the air. I have a tendency it gets tight.
Yeah. Well, they always show the instructor walking off the plane like the hands shaking like this. Nervous wreck.
That's right. My father wanted no part of that. So.
Yeah. Very interesting. I see that. Was this on your...
Yeah, that's the phoenix thing.
Yeah, there it is.
That's the old Funghorn bird. that other thing up in the top, that's Welsh. All those shields up there on the wall.
This one.
That's all Vietnam.
That's Vietnam. What does that say? That's almost impossible to see.
I could just have my name or something.
Okay.
That thing in the middle is Welsh. That means Wales forever.
The Aaron version of Aaron Go Bra.
Yeah, but I mean, that's Cymru am Byth.
That's also Phoenix and
That's Phoenix, yeah.
How were those things made up?
Listen, there was an industry in Saigon that made shields and things. The Army, you know, is great for this kind of thing. This is the only one. I think this one came from Fort Bragg. But the Army...
That's David, isn't it? That's the Welsh flag.
That's a flag book. It's the Red Dragon. Right, the contents of these bookcases have changed over the years. Right now it's in its Welsh stage, but I've gone to...
My father's ancestors are from Scotland.
Oh yeah.
So when I was in Scotland, I went to my last name is Valentine, but my father's real last name is Spence, and his actual born name is Spence. When he was 1 year old,
his father Spence.
Well, yeah, is you know the according to my great uncle Baxter Spence, who is a 33rd degree Mason, and is the Grand Governor, or was the Grand Governor of Connecticut, did a genealogy of the family. My father's natural father left when he was 1 year old, and mother remarried to a Valentine, and that's how the name Valentine comes, but Spence is a sept of Macduff clan, so we're supposed to be related to the great Macduff who slew Macbeth.
My wife was Scottish too, and I'm trying. She was